from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
8 o'clock hour on a Tuesday, flying by. 2 hours left for Fesco and Dusty with Mac Morey, our
executive
producer.
Twice as much time as Alex and Cody worked yesterday.
Well, they got a full show today. An hour show tomorrow. Royals at 5:40 tonight. Pregame at 4:30. Vern's pregame show. Remember, there's only 12 games left at the K. So if you want to go on the house of free 99, all you got to do is call into Vern's show at about 4:40, and you can play the pitch clock and win a set of tickets to the next homestand. So if you want to go to the game and you don't want to pay those playoff prices, here's your time.
Yep.
Speaking of the Royals, boy, do these guys do it for me when they play like they did yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we talked about yesterday. I was going to go be a moron and play golf. Had a really good round, actually. No one cares. But
was anybody out there?
No, it was awesome.
Yeah, I bet that's fantastic, right?
The marshals were like, you guys playing 18? Like, yep, riding. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then when I returned the card, he goes, well, there's other people trying to show up, but you're the only two that have come through. I was like, well, sorry, man.
Oh,
like,
man, the poor old guy's got to sit out there and marshal nobody yesterday.
I mean, yeah, we played in like 2.5 to 3 hours.
That's
like,
pretty good. We were moving.
Nobody was out there. The second nine got real uncomfortable.
I bet.
It started to feel like we were like just soaked in like Vaseline.
Oh, dude, God, that's awful. That is a terrible situation.
It was bad. But either way, I had my phone on the Royals game, listened to the Odyssey app, listened to the Royals game, and it was, you know, one of those nerve-wracking games, 2-0, walked in a run. My buddy's like, can they get their stuff together? I'm like, it's way too early to have this sort of thought process. And then, bang, MJ Melendez hits that 3-run home run, and it kind of gave you the perspective like, okay, they were down, they answered, they came back, and they did it. And they got MJ Melendez to do that, whatever. And then the home run was nice.
Mm-hmm.
The home run's great. Chicks dig the long ball. Dudes dig the long ball. But the play of the day yesterday, some might have said, was Bobby Witt Jr.'s go-ahead home run. Bob Fesco says, not a chance. Some people might say it was Salvador Perez's 2-homer game, one being the grand slam that busted things wide open. Bob Fesco would say, not a chance. And then there was this play where Bob Fesco put his feet on the ottoman and said, that's the play of the day.
And the 1-1. Swing and a high drive deep into the left field corner. Melendez is on the run. He dives and he caught it. MJ Melendez made a running, diving catch just inside the line in the deepest part of the left field corner. So he has driven in 3 and he just saved 2.
I will say this. Out of the ways that we've talked about the Royals today, if you've just now joined us or if you missed it because the app was down, go back to list hour one. It was how great of a day yesterday was. Perfect day for the Royals. The second way we've talked about the Royals is Salvador Perez being the icon and the legend and the captain in Kansas City for multiple reasons.
Mm-hmm.
That play by Melendez yesterday, and I don't tend to be the kind of guy that would say this more very often, that play set the tone for the entire day moving forward. Because after MJ Melendez makes that play, Bobby Witt Jr. hits a go-ahead home run in the game. And then in the second game, what is the one thing we talked about yesterday that Vern said was the Achilles heel to the Royals? They can't come back from making mistakes. Blanco makes one of the worst attempts at a catch I've ever seen. Even Rex Heller, who's super Mr. Positive.
Yeah, even Rex was like, terrible.
He goes, that was terrible. He goes, you can't blame the sun because it's going across his body. He just made a terrible read on a play.
That was bad. And then
there's the wild pitch. And all of a sudden you're like, damn it, the Royals are down.
Right.
But they didn't give up. They came back from being behind after giving up 2 unearned runs in the first inning, giving up 3 total. And they won the game, right, 9-4. That play by Melendez in left field, there was a man on first and second. MacArthur was pitching. There was a tie game to be had. And if MJ Melendez does not catch that ball, both of those runs score, the batter is on third, if not hitting inside the park home run, and that game is lost.
Mm-hmm.
And the momentum is out, and the Royals might not win that second game, and they're 5 games out of first place as opposed to being 1 game out of first place in the division with 2 left in Cleveland. Minnesota losing, Boston losing, you doing everything possible. And that play by Melendez absolutely lit a fire in everybody's ass in the Royals, and they didn't stop after that. They just kept going.
It was an unbelievable play by MJ Melendez yesterday. And that's why, for me, like, it's okay to, you know, like, in football, I think we have gotten into a quote-unquote rut by, like, every time they win, it's let's praise Patrick Mahomes and say he was the reason why the Royals won the game yesterday. Yeah, Bobby hit the game-winning home run to make it 4-3. But without MJ Melendez blasting a home run and without MJ Melendez making that play, more importantly, that play than anything, that really saved the game for the Royals. If he doesn't make that play, you heard it right there by Ryan, he probably saves two runs by making that play. And we're not looking at a box score where John Schreiber has a win yesterday. He has a win because MJ Melendez made a defensive play that we haven't seen really since the days of Alex Gordon going out there and making great defensive plays out in left field. So I think MJ Melendez is starting to become that player that a lot of people probably didn't like. Most people wanted to get rid of when the season was in the early stages. But now you're looking at MJ Melendez, and he's becoming an example I used to use all the time was the Mike Pinnell of the team. Like, where would we have been without that first Super Bowl without Mike Pinnell? Mike Pinnell was a huge part of why the Chiefs won that Super Bowl. Never really was flashy, but man, made plays when you need him to make plays. MJ Melendez is starting to fill in that role of, where would we be right now without MJ Melendez? They would have lost to the Tigers. We know that. He hit that big home run to win that game a couple of weeks ago for you.
Did it against the Cubs.
Did it against the Cubs. I mean, MJ has had some big moments. You could probably account MJ Melendez for about 5 wins this year for the Royals. And right. I think that's very significant. Now, is it as many as Bobby and all the, no, obviously not. But if you take MJ Melendez off this team, you could potentially have 3 to 5 less wins than you have right now. Mm-hmm. And his performance and his big moments and his big plays and big times are the reason why the Royals are just a game out and will probably end up winning the American League Central Division.
Somebody says for you, youngins, that's a web gym. No, I remember web gyms.
Yeah.
I remember that. We just don't do it anymore because every highlight's on Twitter.
Yeah, that's right.
Somebody also says, come on, Dusty, the Royals have more than 12 games at home this year. No, they don't.
No.
Not as of right now.
As of right now, they don't. Now, today when they tie Cleveland for the division lead and tomorrow when they sweep Cleveland and they are in first place all by themselves in the division, it's a completely different conversation. If the Royals make the playoffs as a wild card team, there are no home games.
Right.
Unless you win and you move on, yeah.
Right. And I think the best thing about what we're seeing from MJ Melendez is, like, there's a lot of comparisons that we give this team to the team from 9 and 10 years ago. MJ's kind of having a Mike Moustakas season.
A little bit. That's a good comparison, yeah.
Right, because we like to give what's in the past something of recency, too, because Moustakas was like a phone call away from getting sent down or like in the bus on the way, but then they turned around because an injury had happened. So they brought him back, but he had that average on the scoreboard and couldn't stop looking at it. It was affecting his gameplay. MJ Melendez, again, was probably on the verge of maybe getting something figured out. Now, again, I was on the team with Vern. We're like, what's he going to learn in AAA? Mm-hmm. But he has the foot injury as he went for the stretch of the bag, the famous Lorenzo Cain injury.
Right.
Misses 10 games right before the All-Star break. Gets a lot of time off. Who knows what he does? But it's almost like he came back, put all that behind him, and said, okay, how can you be productive moving forward? And MJ Melendez, since that 10-game skid, has actually been playing very well, right?
Yeah.
Raked against the Red Sox like he always does. Was responsible for maybe, if you count runs saved, he was maybe responsible for 5 runs in that first game, saving 2, creating 3 from the swing of the bat. Plays very, very underrated left field. One of the best defensive left fielders in the AL, which, thank God, because it wasn't going to work out as catcher. You had Fermin, you have Sal, those guys battled there. It's like, what are we doing here? Develops into left field and has kind of figured out what his role is with this team, being the 7th hitter. We don't need you to home run every time. We just need you to give us a spark in that second half of the lineup or that second tier towards the end of the lineup. And when you do that and you think about his production, you think about how the lineup stretches, because it seems that right now, Michael Garcia is in a hot spot as a leadoff hitter.
Yeah.
Bobby Witt's not going anywhere. Vinny and Sal, they're not going anywhere. All 3 of those guys have 90 RBIs. Then after that, it's like, okay, do we go Massey? Do we go Paul DeJong? Which I think is they're going to go Paul DeJong, which is another acquisition made by your very own GM, JJ Piccolo. And then you throw in MJ Melendez at 7. And then all of a sudden, 8, 9, you're not really getting all harsh against, where it's like, could be Garrett Hampson, could be Frazier, could be Isbell, could be, you know, Massey there as well. MJ Melendez is very important to this team staying in this sort of spark because he extends that lineup. Yeah, he makes that lineup more powerful.
He's given you an option, right? Like you didn't have that before, and now you go seven deep in that lineup. 8-9, nobody in baseball has a good 8-9. And, you know, baseball's so watered down from a talent perspective. Yankees. Like, nobody has a good – a lot of people don't even have a good 7-8-9 in baseball. Most teams don't have a good 7-8-9. Mm-hmm. So now you've got MJ who's getting you some key hits. You feel confident when he gets up there. Like, you feel like he's going to get a hit. Like – if you're surprised that the Royals swept that doubleheader yesterday, you shouldn't be, because I told you going into this thing, Cleveland is not a good baseball team right now. They are not playing inspired baseball. They are not playing the kind of baseball it takes to win at this point of the season. They have come back down to earth. They have fizzled. They had a hot start. I mean, the Royals were 10 games back in July. Mm-hmm. They're now one game back. They've closed that gap. Yeah, they played great baseball, but it also goes to show you how bad Cleveland has been playing right now. Mm-hmm. This was an opportunity to go kick their teeth in a doubleheader, and you did just that. The Cleveland team has not played great baseball since the All-Star break. They're not playing inspired baseball. They're not playing with energy. They're not playing with that killer instinct. The Royals are playing with all that. These wins shouldn't be surprising at all yesterday, because the Royals are the better team right now. And that's why I said last week, I guarantee you, this organization is going to win the division.
Royals are a game and a half above Minnesota, a game behind the Cleveland Guardians. They are still, they're still four games behind the Yankees for the top spot in the AL, but they do have a game and a half above Minnesota in the wild card. Boston lost last night. They have a five-game lead over Boston. The Royals, at this point in the season, you could almost guarantee it, they are not going to miss the playoffs unless something catastrophically fails, which I don't think it could with this team. But they are now 4-6-2 versus Cleveland and are now plus 195 to win the division. Cleveland minus 120, Minnesota plus 300. Back into Stadium Talk, Bob Fesco's sweet spot. It's Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Don't forget, you're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, Mac Morey with you. We call this show Fesco and Dusty. Some announcements today will be made with roster cutting.
Big day.
National roster cutting day.
I thought you said international.
Yeah, it's international cut day, but national roster cut day.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
What are your favorite types of cold cuts, as we could talk to the text line?
Honey roasted turkey.
That's fair.
Black forest ham.
Oh, yeah.
See, I'm like
corned beef.
Ew.
Yeah.
I like a little capicola. A little pepperoni and a little smoked turkey.
That's amore.
What do you like?
Yeah, I'm in on all those.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Every once in a while, like a little roast beef. You dig? So anyways, some announcements have been made, some big names. The biggest thing I've seen really outside of anything is just that T.J. Hawkinson. He'll be on the pup list, so he misses four games. Remember that with your fantasy drafts. He'll be a sleeper tight end late in the draft. People forget. Well, he's going to miss four games.
Jonathan Brooks, pup list
Stream
as well.
Stream him. And then B.J. Thompson, the Chiefs player that had the cardiac arrest last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's on the pup list. So he'll still the team. Just going to miss four games. We'll get into more dips, dives, ducks, and dodges in the roster cutting that is the NFL today. What is it, 194 players will be cut total?
No,
it's
937 a team.
Yeah, almost 1,000. Yeah, almost 1,000 players. And then you'll see everybody get picked up like Cam Thomas.
Yeah, Cam Thomas, which by the way, before we get back into our Royals conversation,
yeah,
that's the biggest story of the day.
Yeah,
at least we all woke up to a text message this morning that was sent well after 10 o'clock last night from Binkley telling us about this Cam Thomas guy.
To be fair, they go send it 10 on the dot.
Yeah.
As if it was like a scheduled text. But speaking of Binkley.
And Charles Rappaport also pup list.
Charles. Ian's
son. Charles O'Minihue.
Okay, so Charles
Rappaport. Oh, Charles O'Minihue.
Yeah.
There we go. Okay. Sorry.
Charles Rappaport. Yeah. And I'm like, I know I don't know a lot of names, but like, that's what I've never heard of.
That's Ian's son that plays football.
Charles cool, Rappaport man. Is going on the O'Minihue list. Huh?
Yeah, the O'Minihue list.
According to Ian O'Connor.
Yeah, he played for
Dave Scheffler tweeted.
Who's that great coach who just passed away? That's who he played for.
Oh.
So.
Who?
The Ravens coach?
The guy that I thought was a coach.
Phil Donahue.
Yeah. Great coach. Yes, thank you.
Phil Donahue, he gave some really good pregame speeches.
Oh, he did.
College football. No, he said, you're not the father first. But speaking of Beakley, we'll have Beakley on tomorrow as his weekly visit for college football hits. There's Mizzou, KU, K-State.
Big weekend.
Mm-hmm. Mizzou, KU on Thursday night. I'm not sure if those games are on TV or pay-per-view. I'll have to look into that more often.
Are they still doing pay-per-view, or is like everything just now on the Plus or some app that you have to... I guess it is pay-per-view if it's on an app that you have to subscribe to. I'm sure
I'm just excited to bet over numbers for Luther Burden on Thursday, so I cannot wait for that.
Yeah. So K-State doesn't play till Saturday, correct. I believe, right?
Yeah, Tennessee Martin.
And what's the big game of the weekend? Is it Notre Clemson, Dame, Texas A&M? Clemson's playing...
They play somebody pretty big.
Miami is playing Florida, but Florida's not that relevant anymore. No. Like, I mean, last week they were bragging about selling out a game at the Swamp, so the Miami-Florida game isn't that big anymore.
Clemson-Georgia, Saturday,
Georgia. 11. Yeah, that's a big one, right?
That's where my attention will be.
Yeah, Notre Dame A&M. Yeah. Those are the two.
Notre Dame A&M should be a good game.
That's
a friend of mine calls me the other day, goes, you want to come down for the A&M-Notre Dame game? I'm like, what kind of world do you live in where I can just drop everything and just head on down?
Mizzou is on the SEC Network on Thursday night, and Kansas is on ESPN Plus.
Yeah, what did you say Mizzou was on?
SEC Network.
SEC Network. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Before we get back into the Royals, there was some announcements made yesterday about a stadium.
Yeah.
That, Bob, you are always with your ear to the wall with this.
Too much.
It's okay. Yeah. Don't lose sleep over it, please. But it was a 5-4 vote of no in Jackson County to put it on the ballot in November. Correct? I'm not saying anything.
Yes and no. I mean, it was a 5-4 vote against a quarter-cent sales tax that would have given the money all of the Chiefs to renovate Arrowhead Stadium for 20 years. That's stupid. That was a dumb idea to have anyway, because renovating Arrowhead Stadium at this point in time does not make sense for that kind of cost to the taxpayers. A quarter-cent sales tax for 20 years to renovate Arrowhead, it was different if it was a 3A's for 25 years and you were getting a new baseball stadium with it as well. That made sense. This one that they proposed, this didn't make any sort of sense whatsoever. So I don't know what's going on with the Chiefs. I wouldn't be surprised if they, you know, end up across the state line, but that's neither here nor there. We'll worry about that when it comes to it. The other story that popped yesterday was this horrible idea of putting the new baseball stadium by Crown Center. I think this is the worst proposal of all of them that we have seen by anybody proposing a stadium for the Kansas City Royals. And the reason why I think this is the worst idea of all of them, number of reasons. Number one, John Sherman has been very vocal about talking about the Atlanta Battery and developing the area around the stadium to be a stream of income for his baseball team. With the way that TV deals are going now in Major League Baseball with these ancillary networks that are broadcasting these games, these regional sports networks not being around and them dropping rights and not paying the rights fees, you can't rely on that TV dollar right now. You have to rely on other streams of income. I was under the impression of that John Sherman wanted to build the stadium with the development around it to generate more money for the baseball team, which to me makes absolute sense. I see what's going on in Atlanta. I went to Atlanta. I experienced the Battery. It is the best game day baseball environment that I've ever seen. Papa John's just relocated their corporate headquarters to the Battery. They've got a great hotel. They've got bars. They've got restaurants. They got 2.27 million square feet of retail and hotel and all that kind of space outside the Battery that generates money for the baseball team. Now, obviously, we wouldn't have something that big here in Kansas City, but to have something like that to generate money that can be put back into the team, which John has proven that he will do, I thought was a very big, big, big thing for the Royals, because that's how you're going to be generating money in the future. Teams across Major League Baseball are doing this. And so this Crown Center location is very much landlocked, and the number one thing they say, it is surrounded by existing attractions. That's great. But that doesn't make money for the Royals. I'm all about finding a way to make money for the Royals so they can put that money back into their team. If they don't do this and they don't develop an area around their team and they choose this site, I can't listen to them complain anymore about being a small market and a small revenue franchise. It just won't fly with me anymore, because this area does not allow you to really build out that Battery area like John has talked about. So plus, I think the site that they're looking at, 17 acres, is landlocked. You're not going to be able to do a whole heck of a lot. And if you've ever tried to get to Crown Center from the highway, I hate to tell you, it's probably the worst location when people are talking about where are we going to park and how are we going to get there. I think this location is terrible. They say there's abundant parking. Fine, we'll see that. You've got to show people where there's abundant parking. On the streetcar line, 54% of season ticket holders come from Johnson County. They're not riding the streetcar to the game. And they say zero business displacements. That's all well and good. That's great. But you're displacing a public park. And I don't know. I like green space. I'm not about displacing a public park when the East Village location is literally just an empty surface area parking lot that you can build and not have to displace a public park. And the East Village area also gives you the opportunity to develop and to bring in other businesses that can help you generate revenue for your team, where this Crown Center, Washington Square Park area does not give you that opportunity because it's landlocked and it's tiny. The only benefit of this stadium in Washington Square Park is the fact that, from what I'm told, is that park and that area is controlled by the Port Authority of Kansas City, and there's something in their bylaws that allows them to allocate money to the Royals to build that stadium. You know, they're allowed to do projects and things like that, and it doesn't require a public vote. And I think that's probably the biggest thing in all of this, that if they can get public funding from the Port Authority that doesn't require a public vote, I think the Royals are going to take that. And from what I understand, this could be the last-ditch effort to keep the team in downtown KC Mo. I love downtown baseball, but I also want to have that ballpark district and have the Royals have the ability to make that kind of money from ancillary funds 365 days a year. This spot doesn't do that. So John has to decide what's more important to him, being downtown and this probably being the last opportunity to do so, or maybe going out to the suburbs somewhere and building a battery type place and having the development around them. If they choose this downtown stadium, the small market, small revenue stuff will not fly with me anymore, because you had the opportunity to go somewhere else and build that entertainment district, but you chose not to. But I also understand if the public money that they're going to be getting doesn't require a public vote, then you go ahead and you take that public money. But you're not going to get exactly what you wanted. So you got to weigh both. You got to see what's more important at this point in time.
I definitely have the same opinion with having the village around, because I've gone to my buddy's place in St. Louis and gone down to their place.
It's awesome.
And it's great, because there's advantages beyond measure. Because if you look at, hey, there's going to be a rain delay, doesn't matter, we'll go to Ballpark Village, wait it out.
Yep.
Or, hey, we just watched the game, team's getting beat 7-1.
Let's go
finish it at the bar, you know, whatever.
Yep.
Also, how tough is it to get an Uber when everybody's in the same location? You go to, like, you know, Ballpark Village, you can kind of wait it out, let it fizzle away, and it's like, hey, we'll have a couple suds, we'll have a meal or whatever, and then we'll Uber home.
You Uber home.
A lot of different advantages. I'm in the opposite of, like, where I think, are they trying to build a stadium for a scenic view, or are they trying to build a stadium for an actual revenue view?
And it should be a revenue view.
Right, because when I looked at the stadium renderings of what they gave yesterday, I was like, oh, that's cool. The skyline's hidden in the left, so you have to kind of be an upper deck to see the city skyline and kind of less center field. But also the Western Auto sign was there, and I'm thinking to myself, like, that'd be kind of cool to, like, see that thing light up every time the Royals hit a home run. Like, when the Twins hit one, the bell rings, or in Philadelphia rings, and then Twins, the state lights up of Minnesota. But again, man, just stop giving us different views. Figure it out. Put your heads together.
That's it. And
give us a final copy, because I think everybody's past the point of rescue of, shout out Hal Ketchum, but I think we're all past the point of rescue of seeing what a cool stadium would look like.
Right.
How about, instead of just giving us little views of other places, figure out, hey, this is our last ditch effort. Here's what we want to do. This is where we're going to put it. This is the best option. Here's what goes around it. What do you think?
Right.
Instead of, like they did it in the last process of, here's an idea. Oh, by the way, we're actually going to do it here.
Right.
What? Don't like that.
Well, that's been the problem all along with this, Dusty, is we started with the East Village. Then we talked about the Northland. Then there was the Crossroads, which they voted on. Now we're at Washington Square Park. Like, why can't we just pick a site and make up our mind and do it?
It's a constant,
like, there's
headache.
So much noise out there of everybody seemingly feeling like they have to have a say in what's going on. For years, it was going to be East Village. Years, it was going to be East Village where they were going to build this ballpark. And then all of a sudden, they have fans vote on the Crossroads District. And the fans are sure they didn't want it down there, right? And then the Northland. And then this one. And, like, then it's Kansas. And, like, it's all over the place. And every location presents a different challenge. Every location presents something different. This one at Washington Square Park just isn't for me. I just don't like the fact, number one, commandeering a public park, man. Right. Like, I'm not into that.
I'm just ready for it to be over.
And that's it as well, man. I think so. I'm ready for this whole thing to be over. I'm ready for it to be finalized. One of these teams needs to make a decision on what they're going to do fast so we can figure out what's going to happen with everybody else. And to me, I look at this, you know, this website that was tweeted out yesterday and some of these proposed renderings. You're squeezing in this ballpark because, you know, that may be the last-ditch effort to keep it in downtown baseball. And I like downtown baseball. I'm all for it. But I'm also all for the Royals having the opportunity to have the ability to grow their business and to build their own ballpark district so they can generate revenue to stay up to date and to keep pace with everybody else in Major League Baseball.
No doubt. Speaking of keeping pace in Major League Baseball, the Royals had a perfect day yesterday. They win two games of the doubleheader. They gain two games in the standings. Minnesota loses to Atlanta. Boston loses. Boston now five games out of third place in the wild card means they're 6.5 out behind the Royals. The Royals gain a game and a half above Minnesota. They're a game behind Cleveland. They're 7-3 in their last 10. Cleveland is 3-10 in their last 10, or 3-7 in their last 10. And you love to listen to other teams' broadcasts.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the questions that they asked in the Cleveland broadcast is, will this be Bobby Witt Jr.'s best season ever?
Yeah.
Well, I would say that if I'm a betting man, I would say no. Because technically you could say he's having an MVP season, but Aaron Judge is having a better one.
Right.
And depending on what you look at when it comes to when it had the team coming to this, you look at what, you know, is Bobby Witt Jr. this year? Mm-hmm. And Bobby Witt Jr. this year has been outstanding. Right, I think he was hitting 347 going into the second game last year. He had the game-winning or go-ahead home run in the eighth inning yesterday against Cleveland. And you look at what he does, and I don't know if you could statistically say this is his best year, because what if he has a year where he hits 325, but he has 40-40
yeah,
and hits 125 RBIs? You know, like that. To say that this could be his best year ever is kind of the same way where you could say, was Patrick Mahomes' first year as a starter the best year ever?
Mm-hmm.
Was his best year 50 and 5,000? Well, as of now, yes.
Yeah.
But he could do that again, or he could be 48 touchdowns, 4,900 yards, but have a better completion percentage and go 15-2.
Mm-hmm.
So to say it's his best year yet, I don't know. But, I mean, you have your opinions as well.
Well, I mean, it's interesting to think about what he's doing right now. It's going to be very difficult to replicate what he did, just like as you mentioned with Patrick Mahomes. And I feel like it is kind of the Patrick Mahomes situation. Comes in and dominates right away and never looks back. And I think Patrick Mahomes and Bobby Witt Jr. are kind of very similar, you know, in this type of situation. Like, Patrick hit the ground running. Boom, man, he's ready to go. 50 and 5,000. And then got, I guess you could say, better. The numbers may not lend to it, but you win championships, you become the face of the NFL, all that kind of stuff. And I think Bobby Witt, you know, may numbers-wise have the best season that he ever has, but that doesn't mean it's going to be the best season that he ever has. If he leads the Royals to championships and they find ways to win back-to-back and do some of the stuff that's similar to Mahomes. And I think that's the way it's going to be for Bobby Witt, because him and Mahomes are very similar. Obviously, both raised in the same area, both come from fathers who played professional sports, both work out with the same trainer, both have that same drive, both at the top of their game, both playing in the same city. Like, I feel like Patrick Mahomes is going to continue to push Bobby Witt as much as he pushes everybody else in the Chiefs organization. I think he's going to continue to push Bobby Witt as much as anybody.
I think that being the youth that Bobby Witt Jr. has, I remember when Vern goes back and says the Royals did such a great job at signing him in his prime, which is nowadays baseball, which Bobby Witt Jr. is either entering that or has officially like put his 2 feet in the concrete and said, this is where we go forward. Here's what you're going to see for the next 7 to 8 years, which is fine. But like, the thing about Bobby Witt Jr. is that he's not like tampering off.
Right.
Like, he's staying dominant. Like, they walked him to walk the bases loaded with Vinny Pasquantino on deck, who leads this team in RBIs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, think about that for a second.
Right.
You walked Bobby Witt Jr. to load the bases. Now, there was a lefty-lefty matchup. I understand that. But
who would you rather face, Vinny or Bobby? No.
Sure.
If Bobby beat you there, you're getting criticized all day if you're the manager of that team.
Right. But the thing about that is that you still walk the bases loaded with the leading RBI candidate on their team. And then not only that, immediately after, Salvador Perez hits a grand slam.
Mm-hmm.
The bases were still loaded.
Make him pay.
Exactly. And it's like, that's the effect that Bobby Witt Jr. can have on other teams, is that he's so damn good and he's so good consistently. I just don't want to get beat by that guy. That, oh, so you're willing to get beat by a perennial four, or, you know, soon to be Hall of Famer in Salvador Perez, who hit his, you know, franchise tying grand slam with Frank White yesterday. Who? And it goes 457 feet, flips the bat, and we're looking at a two-game sweep of a doubleheader. And the Royals do exactly what they are. And it kind of lets you know, like, is Vinny perceived as underrated?
Yeah, that was another conversation that Tom Hamilton, the great broadcaster of the Indians, was talking about yesterday. He's fantastic. And I was struggling with Ryan on radio and Tom Hamilton, two of my favorites, like going back and forth, listening to both yesterday. And Tom Hamilton was talking about Vinny Pasquantino, and he goes, he's the most underrated player in the American League. And I said, wow, I think probably he is, because ask anyone in another baseball town, right? That's a casual fan like we are, right? How many people would name Vinny Pasquantino if you said to them, name multiple Kansas City Royals? You'd get Bobby Witt, you'd get Salvador Perez, maybe you'd get Seth Lugo, right? On a national level. Not many people would name Vinny Pasquantino on that team. And then ask those same fans who Vinny Pasquantino is, and most will probably say, I don't know, somebody Fesco grew up with, right? Like, they don't know who Vinny Pasquantino is. He's not a household name, but by God, he should be a household name. I mean, Aaron Judge is capturing headlines. Juan Soto is capturing headlines. Bobby Witt Jr. is capturing headlines. But Vinny Pasquantino, man, he's going to have 100 RBIs probably before the week is up. And he probably needs to be recognized as one of the best players in the American League at this point in time. But to Tom Hamilton's point on the Cleveland broadcast, he's the most underrated player in the American League right now. It's time to get Bobby, or it's time to give Vinny Pasquantino his flowers and let the rest of baseball know how good a bat this guy is right now.
I'm also okay with him being a silent assassin. So then when the playoffs do come around, Vinny Pasquantino gives up to bat and there's two men on base because Michael Garcia and Bobby Witt Jr. did their job. Boom, 3-0. Where'd this guy come from? Been here all season. Vinny Pasquantino, nice to see you. Uh-huh. When you see that Sasquatch go above, when you see his necklace, have you noticed that? His chain has a Sasquatch on it? So amazing.
Yeah.
Also, at what point do you think that people will realize that the Chiefs, that the Royals officially won the Reagan trade? One of the best trades in the franchise's history.
Well, yeah, it is. And I think right now, if the Royals get to the postseason, and this guy continues to be an ace for this staff, you have to say they won the trade, because they were talking about it in Cleveland. They're like, everybody wins because you traded Chapman. They won a World Series. They probably don't get a World Series without Aroldis Chapman. But how long does that last? If Cole Reagans pitches for a decade and wins multiple championships here in Kansas City, didn't the Royals win the Cole Reagans trade at that point in time?
I think they already have.
I'm kind of with you.
I mean, they're
kind of with you on that.
I don't think they're at where they are without Cole Reagans because of what he's done multiple times in this season. Whereas in years past, without a guy like Cole Reagans, a 2-game skid leads to a 6-game skid. Whereas with Cole Reagans, if they've lost 2 games in a row, he throws on it, shoves, and the losing streak's over. And then you don't have to worry about going on those long and just painful 6, 7, 8-game losing streaks. And look where you're at. You made the trade. Since you've made that trade, the pitching staff has been revamped. The offense is looking better. And this team is 1 game away from tying Cleveland for the division.
They're going to be tied for first place after today's game.
You heard it. Go hammer the money line.
I told you last week, they're going to win this division. Cleveland is just an uninspired baseball team right now that looks like they'd rather be doing anything but playing baseball. And I'm not judging that off of yesterday. I did that based on watching them play last week. And I'm like, boy, this isn't a team that looks like they want to be here right now. They get down. They don't have any fight back. They just don't seem like a team that's built for the push. The Royals are a team that are built for the playoff push.
The Royals will play Cleveland tonight at 5:40. Michael Lorenzen will be on the mound for the Royals as they go into Game 3 of 4 against Cleveland in Cleveland. Fesco and Dusty brought to you by Rainier Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster's patented MyQ technology is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainierKC.com. Don't forget, tomorrow, Royals manager Matt Cotrero will join our show, as he does every week at 9 o'clock. Coming up on the other side, it is the national or international cut day in the NFL. What that means for the Chiefs? Well, basically absolutely nothing, but we'll also get into what Carson Steele's facts and realities of what he truly is, as we have a very good source. Well, everybody does. We'll explain on the other side. Listen to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Missouri athletics. 96.5 The Fan.
Back here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. Royals win both games yesterday of a doubleheader. 16,856 people got to see them lose the second game of the doubleheader.
How about that? Yeah.
Somebody mad on the text line about the...
Somebody's mad about the crowds in Cleveland, complaining about the Cleveland crowds. It's a Monday, and it was 95 degrees, and there was a doubleheader. Like, how many went to the Royals game on Monday night? 15,000 the night when we were there? About 15,000?
15 on the Monday night.
Okay, yep. So the Cleveland team had more than we had. It's Monday in baseball. Like, people don't go to Monday baseball games. That's why I've advocated for years, get rid of Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday games off the schedule. Just play Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's when people tend to go and tend to go out and do things, or days that are close to the weekend are the weekend. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday should be dark around Major League Baseball, and you should go back to a 100-game schedule. But anyway, that's what that's kind of how I'm feeling. Like, criticizing the crowds of baseball teams, like, I just find that to be weak. There's 81 games, 82 games at everybody's ballpark, 81 games at everybody's ballpark. A lot of times people have their money spent, and if you're not going to every game, I don't think you have the opportunity to criticize people who are going to baseball games.
Yeah, and I mean, you've only got 12 left at the K for now. Obviously, if they can surpass Cleveland and hold off Minnesota, then they would have the home right. game in the playoffs. And if they have one of the top two teams in baseball, which they, I think, would if they won their division, then you get a first round bye.
Yeah.
So, would love to see that.
Yes.
Would love to see that. Would also love to see playoff baseball back in Kansas City.
Well, and that's the thing. You get a home game, right? Mm-hmm. If you get that first round bye, you're not the wild card. You get a home game. The wild card, you know, you could go on the road, lose two games, and never come back home, because that's the way the wild card round now works. Three games, best of three, played at one site over the course of three quick days, and it's the higher seed gets the games. And if they win in advance and you don't win, you don't get a home playoff game. I want the home playoff game. More revenue for the Royals. Let's go.
Well, and you talk about guys spending their money. People spending their money in advance. I mean, bring a home playoff game here. You know, you have a lot more people thinking about next year going, oh, okay, I'll allocate some money there for some home games, me and my family. I remember that playoff game. That was fun. I'm going to go back.
That's where you really get the boost in attendance. Absolutely. The following year, as you make the postseason, then people are excited about what they saw. They're excited about the season. They commit early. They make it a part of what they're doing in the summer. They make it part of their routine. They buy tickets early. They're ready to go. When a baseball team sneaks up on you like the Royals did, I know a lot of people had their money allocated to whether it's sporting, the current, you know, the Chiefs, maybe it's your college team, maybe it's a vacation or something. You probably weren't counting on the Royals to be one of the better teams in baseball this year. And now here they are. And like, damn, I wish I've known. I wouldn't have allocated all my money.
Again, the Royals are plus 195 to win their division. Cleveland now minus 120, Minnesota plus 300. Not only that, but per Fangraphs, the Royals have an 89.3% chance to make the playoffs, and their odds of winning the AL Central are almost 30%. So, wow. About even.
Yeah.
Because you'd go probably like 40 for Cleveland, 30 for Kansas City, and then there'd be, what, 20 for Minnesota at this point? So, love to see that.
I think they're plus 195.
I mean, I just don't see Cleveland pulling out of the spiral, guys. Like, they're in a spiral. They've lost 7 of 10, and they look lifeless. They look like a team that's just beat up. They look like a team that's tired. They look like a team that knows the best has already happened, and they're not playing their best baseball right now. Like, in July, they had a 10-game lead over the Royals, and now it's down to one, and that will be a race tonight.
Cleveland's schedule moving forward: after Kansas City, they get the Pirates, then they get Kansas City again, then they get the Dodgers. Then, unfortunately for them, you get the White Sox, Rays, Twins, Cardinals, Reds, Astros. So it's not really necessarily easy for Cleveland either, as it's not easy for Kansas City.
No.
Right now, one team is winning games, the other one is not. Some NFL rumblings that have happened today. We talked to you earlier. TJ Hockenson, he's on the pup list, so he's out for it.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nick Chubb announced yesterday he's on the pup list. He's out four games. Samaje Perine got cut. Is this a name that's a good third down or third running back option? I don't know.
Chiefs Twitter is definitely talking about
it. No way.
They are talking about it.
They recognize the name, so he should come to Kansas City.
Samaje Perine? You don't know that name?
This to me, I mean, this
no,
is...
No, I said they recognize the name, so they're talking about it.
Okay, yeah.
Well, it goes to your point with Juju, you know, make this roster better. I mean, this is the same. You can add this guy for nothing. This is a veteran who's going to figure out the playbook pretty seamlessly. He's a good pass blocker. He's a solid running back. I would like to bring him in as a name. I mean, yeah. Because behind... You know, we like Carson Steele, but he's a rookie. And behind Pacheco, other than that, we got Prince and Clyde, who has just been a no-show.
Yeah. Well, Clyde's got, you know, the
issues.
No,
of course.
The
he's got to figure out what he's got to figure out. It's very important.
No,
but
I think they probably need a little bit of depth at running back right now. But how much are you willing to spend on that? Do you have a young guy on your roster maybe right now that Prince. They like? And, you know, maybe they go with the young guy instead of spending the money to go out and get a veteran. Usually as a running back, you age, the wheels fall off, you're done like dinner, and you move on, right? Like, I think maybe, though, because you have Carson Steele as your number two right now, and he is the number two. I'll just flat out tell you that right now. Carson Steele is your number two running back right now. And because you have a seventh round pick as your first, you know, running back, who's a 3-year vet, you've got Carson Steele, who's a rookie and undrafted guy as your backup running back. Maybe you go the Perine route just to have a veteran presence in there in that situation. Or maybe somebody else gets cut today that the Chiefs look at and they go, you know what? That's not a bad addition. Let's go get him. So I think before we start adding every name that we know to the roster, we have to wait for all of the moves to be made and truly see what's out there. And quite honestly, Brett Veach has earned the benefit of the doubt. He wants to go out and sign somebody. By all means, it's a good signing, in my opinion. I'm never going to criticize a Brett Veach signing until they prove to not be good signings over the course of time, and I really can't think of, you know, one. I mean, they took a flyer on Kadarius Toney, but the guy helped you win a Super Bowl, right? So it's still a success. You're right. Without Kadarius Toney, we don't beat the Eagles. So just with that alone, it was a success. But, you know, for more often than not, 95% of the time when Brett Veach makes a move, it's a really good move for this organization. Yeah.
Speaking of Carson Steele, some facts that came from, this was from, I want to say, Red Tribe Cinema on Twitter, so give them credit. Some fun facts from a former Carson Steele coach or friend. They said, I'm new here, but here is some information. I've known Carson since he was a little kid. In the weight room, he will be one of the strongest non-linemen in the league. Kid's a monster with an unreal work ethic. Love to hear it. On the field is exactly what you have seen. He won't break any 80-yard touchdown runs, but he's not slow. His hip flexibility is better than people think. His vision is great, but most of all, he's a bruiser. He always falls forward. Always. Says, watch his expression. He will flat out terrorize defensive backs who have to tackle him. We already saw that when he stiff-armed that guy for the Bears to the absolute pits of hell. Off the field, you have a kid living his dream. He's genuine, God-fearing young man who has a heart as big as his muscles. Back home, he spends every opportunity in the youth football program where he played. He gets swamped by kids wanting autographs, and he will sign everyone with an ear-to-ear grin. He has a boyish charm that is captivating. Oh, and by the way, his first nickname was Warhorse.
I like that name, Warhorse. I kind of like Carson the Animal Steel, though.
It says, if you've seen the movie, you understand. You have a steel, pun intended, by getting him as an undrafted free agent, but likewise, he landed on the best possible team for his talent.
That's awesome, man. That's great. That's a great write-up right there. Where did he go to college?
UCLA.
UCLA guy. Okay, so he's a big-time college football player, you know, played in the in the Big Ten. I'd probably be a Big Ten legend before this is all said and done. So congratulations to him. But no, I like what I've seen. At first I was like, all right, this is just kind of a flash in the pan, but after watching him talking and having some conversations about this kid, he is your number two running back. And I can tell you what, this organization is really fired up about Carson Steele. Like, I think if you asked every, let's say, offensive coach, I don't know how excited defensive coaches get about the offense, but if you ask all the offensive coaches, like, who are they most excited about leaving training camp? I guarantee you Carson Steele's name comes up. I think they're really, really excited about this kid. It's going to be fun.
Coming up on the other side, we continue to play the hits because the Royals are the absolute hit of the town. We're still 9 days away from the actual opening of the NFL season. Don't you forget about that. But coming up on the other side, Salvador Perez, MJ Melendez, Bobby Witt Jr., Vinny Pasquantino. That's the nuts and bolts so far of your lineup. And today, Lorenzen will go out there at 5:40 to try to get the Royals a third consecutive win against Cleveland. You are listening to Fesco and Dusty with Mac Murray. Also, you're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.